October 8, 2005. You're listening to Nowhere in Mulberry, Episode 6. It's the J-Stream. I'm back again for Nowhere in Mulberry, Episode 6. Hey, Steven, how you doing?
I'm good, good this evening. How are
you? Our pop culture zealot is here. And you know what? I'm in a really good mood. You know why? Because no more summertime heat. It's like dropped down to the 60s and 70s this week, and I'm just sick of 100-degree weather. I don't like the heat. From his think tank library, we have here Mulberry Bill.
Yes, it is Mulberry Bill.
How are you doing, Bill? Are you smoking a pipe there in your library?
Yes, I've got a pipe filled with the excellent cherry tobacco.
And here in our new cleaned out closet with the door taken off and added to a piece of plexiglass is our news booth, and we've shoved Vanessa inside of it. How are you doing, Vanessa?
Cramped.
Are you a little too close to Foggy now to be uncomfortable?
Being in the same zip code with him is too close.
The snakes and lizards aren't bothering you in there?
Poor Foggy.
Foggy likes the butt sex.
I love you. You complete me.
Apparently, Foggy liked what you just said, so why else would he have played that drop?
Exactly. And that's the last time Foggy will be playing that drop.
Now, guys, how much do you love this weather now? How are you enjoying it, Predator?
It needs to be a little more humid for the Predator. He's more
he likes
the jungle atmosphere.
When the cold front came in, I happened to actually be in another city doing some work, and it dropped down into like the 50s. It was nice.
Now, Bill, you just finally got back into Mulberry. You've been gone for quite some time. Where were you?
So I was at the Historian Convention out in Kokomo, Indiana.
Nice. What do you historians talk about when you get together?
It's not so much talking as much as it's alcohol and whores.
Nice. Mm-hmm. Whoa, butt sex?
Butt sex. There are some historians that prefer the sodomy.
Not a drug. I used to suck dick for coke.
Wow.
There is some of that. Yeah, there is some coke and dick sucking.
Now, Vanessa, what have you been doing this week?
Oh, the usual, playing a couple of video games, watching movies, same old, nothing new.
Have you watched anything cool this week?
Actually, yeah, I checked out this documentary from Blockbuster called The Staircase that centers around Michael Peterson. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's the one whose wife was found at the bottom of a staircase dead, and he said it was an accidental fall, and they started looking into it and realized they think it was a murder.
Right.
And it goes on both the prosecution and the defense side on their preparing for the case, and you kind of make your own decision, and then they go through the entire trial. It's 6 hours. It's two different DVDs.
It's 6 hours?
6 hours?
Yeah, and I thought, I'll just watch a little now and later. And then I got so captivated by it, I ended up watching the whole thing in one day.
Do you
it
think
sounds
the dude
like
is guilty?
Dolores Claiborne.
Do you think
if anybody read that?
Do you think the guy is guilty now after you watch all that?
That's
actually
real rough.
I think opposite.
Really?
I think the opposite. By the evidence, because in our, it's supposed to be, it's not guilty or innocent. It's guilty or, you have not, you know, it's not beyond a reasonable doubt. You can't just convict somebody because you have a gut feeling. It has
right.
to be beyond a reasonable doubt. And everything they showed, I had a reasonable doubt. And I don't know how any of those jurists could see the, you know, see opposite. But
now,
so I take it they convicted him of murder?
I didn't say that.
Oh,
he
I guess we'll
convicted.
Have to watch it.
So do you recommend this?
Oh, highly, yeah.
Okay, what's it called again? The Staircase?
The Staircase.
All right, everybody, you check that out. I'm going
to
check it out.
Go to your local Lackluster Video and ask for The Staircase.
You know, something happened this week that, okay, I'm not computer savvy like Foggy.
Mulberry Bill.
Yeah.
It does not compute.
And what I tried to do is, on episode 5, I put it up. Then we realized Bill sent me a newly edited copy of episode 5, and I wanted to switch the old one out, stick the new one in, and I just messed up everything. I effed it up bad. I mean, it was just like...
Error.
Yeah.
Error.
Okay, Foggy.
Examine.
And what happened is, at one point, I double-posted episode 5 with the old one and the new one, and I was like, no, I don't want that. So delete that. Then,
the original and the director's cut.
Yeah. Then I deleted the old one off the host site, and then tried to publish the new one, and when I hit play on our site, I heard episode 4, and I was like, what?! What is episode 4? What the hell is going on?
Shit.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I felt. So finally, what I did is... All right, Foggy Christ. Okay, and then what I did was I just deleted everything and started all over again. But by the time I did it, I had grown a few gray hairs and I have a bald spot now. So I just wanted you guys to know that.
That's
yeah,
crazy.
I had to sit through the entire ordeal.
Hey, you only got the text messages of it. You were there in your library.
Yeah.
That's all where he goes, right?
That's a great thing.
That's where I hang out. I really don't need to go anywhere except my library. I have my fridge, my computer. I have a bucket that I go to the bathroom in, and the maid comes in and empties it out every couple days.
And you wonder why you're single now? Do you have a bucket of pee?
Well, you know, the bucket of pee doesn't really smell or anything. I'm single because I choose pornography over women.
Okay, let's change the subject rapidly. You remember last week I talked about the TiVo ratings and the Nielsen ratings and how they were obsolete and all that stuff? Well, I decided to do an experiment. I have two lists. One is the Nielsen Top 10, and the other one is TiVo subscribers' top recorded programs.
Okay.
All right. Number one of the TiVo is Desperate Housewives. Number one of the Nielsen ratings was CSI. All right. I guess that's the... Nielsen is the people viewing it right then. TiVo is people who record it. Number two is Lost on TiVo. Number two is Desperate Housewives of the Nielsen ratings. Number three is CSI for TiVo. And that's number one in Nielsen. Number three is Without a Trace, which isn't even on the TiVo list. I mean, it's just like... Grey's...
So it's number three in the Nielsen, but it's nowhere on the TiVo list.
Right, okay. For instance, on the top 10 of Nielsen, Grey's Anatomy is there, Commander-in-Chief, and the Cold Case Files. On the TiVo list, those shows aren't even on there.
Well, they're at least not in the top 10.
Right. Alias was number 13 in the TiVo's most recorded. It's not even on the top 10 of... For Cold Case to be at Alias, that just makes things not right in the world.
Oh, seriously. Headed bitch.
That lady, her hair, I mean...
We went through it last week, we know.
Struggling.
Right. And I just wanted to get that out there that the rating system needs to be fixed. All right?
I think they should just go for the TiVo ratings.
Yeah, I do too. But you know what? We were talking about last week how you were saying that the TiVo ratings, they're not as intricate as they need to be. They really need to get more down in the minutia. The thing, like I looked, for instance, the number one tag show for this week, the ones that people have already gone a week in advance, was Dave Attell's Insomniac. I think that's awesome because TiVo covers every channel, where Nielsen's,
yeah.
You only, if you're on channel...
Ocho.
Yeah, if you're
the
on
channel,
the
Spanish Ocho. Channel.
If you're on the Ocho, you're not even on there. Battlestar Galactica will never be on the Nielsen's top 10 because it's a cable channel. But it will be on the top 10 of TiVo because so many people will record it.
ESPN Ocho.
Oh, gnarly!
On this episode, let's talk about, you know, our latest favorite TV shows, which would be Alias, Veronica Mars, of course, Lost. We've got another round of the Movie Drops game. We are going to listen to two movie trailers that I'm very excited about that I will not even let you guys know about. I'm going to surprise you.
Yeah, I'm sitting here going, we're doing movie trailers?
That's a great thing.
Yeah, Steven, it's fantastic. Let's get on to that, all right? Oh, yes, it's entertainment again. I don't know about you, but all week I was seeing commercials to Law & Order SVU, which I like the show. It's fine, but the commercials just, oh. Did you guys see this where it was like, an Emmy-worthy performance? But did NBC just screw her? You know, the commercial was so annoying that people are like, no, she's not getting it. You know
an Emmy-worthy? It's the only thing that NBC can do nowadays. They've got such garbage on their channel that the only thing they can do is go, hey, you need to watch this because this is Emmy-worthy.
This is Emmy-worthy. Well, that's another thing that's stupid is I believe Law & Order has its viewers. The show's a success. It's been on for 4 billion years, and there's 16 Law & Orders. And for us to tell, you know, you may not watch Law & Order, but you better watch this one because it's Emmy-worthy. It's like, all right, hell, hot damn, I'm checking that out. It's Emmy-worthy.
There's going to be some good acting on that
because
one.
And you know what? One thing that has always annoyed me about NBC is they do the guy's voice telling you about the shows on a very special Crossing Jordan. You know, it's like, dude, okay, drink some honey water or something.
On a very
gargle
special
a little
blossom.
Yeah.
Blossom.
On a very special blossom.
She gets a
six
nose job.
Knocks up a liquor store and kills two people. We're getting way in minutia. I don't even think anyone remembers Blossom.
What the hell is minutia?
It's my default word.
It's like my default word like a year ago was vapid.
That is so vapid.
Your default word now is minutia?
Yeah, that and exactly. All right.
Is that like
exactly
dark matter? What is it?
The minutia is getting to the little nitty-gritty pieces of information that don't really matter. They're esoteric pieces, if you will.
Hey, I like esoteric. That's good.
Yes, I do too.
I like the if you will.
And speaking of esoteric, I have a movie trailer here, and I want you all to listen.
Every few years, out of millions of competitors around the world, only one special athlete will cross the line. From Fox Searchlight Pictures comes the thrill of victory and the agony of deceit.
We are going to fix the Special Olympics.
Debbie, highly functioning, developmentally disabled.
All right, look at you.
All you have to do is act like one of them.
Debbie, go for cuckoo bus.
Not exactly a major stretch for you.
Go for gold. Go for gold.
That guy's the Deion Sanders of retards.
Oh, my Lanta.
You can't park here. It's a handicapped spot.
Well, you're handicapped.
For people who are physically handicapped.
No, I don't think so.
Excuse me. My friend here has an IQ of 38. We can park here, right?
Let the games begin.
Celebrate good times. Come on! Celebrate.
I don't know about you guys, but anything with the Special Olympics and fixing them sounds like a winner in my book.
That is the most horrible thing I've ever heard.
Is it Fairly Brothers?
No.
No.
You know what? I don't know.
Slow and steady.
I mean, they could have written it, maybe not directed it.
It stars Johnny Knoxville.
I want you to meet my fiancé.
This film has a few problems already.
I will definitely bring protection.
Parker? I haven't seen you since high school.
Oh, no, you. I don't know you.
This is classic.
Johnny Knoxville is...
How come guys like us never get the girl?
Don't lump me in with you.
The Ringer.
Do you need a hug?
Jeffy doesn't know what's happening to his body.
Okay.
Now
that is god awful.
Okay, I have a few points. First, this was already done in an episode of South Park where Cartman acts like a retard to try to win the Special Olympics, and he loses because he's out of shape. Second, Johnny Knoxville is awful. I can even tell just by listening to it how bad he is.
Now, he chose this after Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, my Lanta. Oh, shut up.
It is so offensive.
Well, not only, you know what, it would have been, this is the sort of material that only the Farrelly brothers can handle, because they've got that crudeness, but also the heart.
Is it bad? You know, I thought it was funny. I actually thought it was funny.
I see where it can be funny, but I don't see it being funny, because I feel they're trying too hard not to offend anyone. So I think that's probably going to be a film that I would have to say it's just going to flop entirely.
I'm wondering if it's just because you're seeing it out of context in little snippets on the trailer, does it seem more...
Yeah, I don't know.
You know what I'm saying?
I thought it looked kind of funny, yeah, but,
I'm not a Johnny Knoxville fan.
Yeah.
Who is?
Yeah. Exactly. What
whole
guy
bunch of,
was
whole
like...
a bunch of jackasses.
What guy saw Jackass and was like, this guy needs to be in the movies. That guy needs to be the new actor, the new guy.
Well, I still think he deserved at least an Oscar nomination for his role in Walking Tall.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Do you guys remember a couple of weeks ago when I talked about Into the Blue and how I was sick of advertising? Every trailer, they're like, hey, check this ass out. You got to see this movie.
You know, how can we forget?
Forget about this movie, but look at this butt. All right. Into the Blue, I think, is a huge flop. I don't think it made any money over the weekend.
It's number 5.
They did the same thing with Dukes of Hazzard. They did the same thing with Stealth, with Jessica Biel's buttocks.
And but it's not hers. It's a stunt double butt, if you will.
Stunt double butt.
I watched her on Conan last night, and she was talking about finding...
interviewing her? That's what I want to know.
She got to audition her own... body double. Like,
Into the Blue is really bad. At one point, there was like a 10-minute underwater montage of just them swimming around coral reefs, and I'm just sitting
the
there going...
The movie montage.
The director who's in love with the ass. Just,
yeah, I'm just sitting there going,
just
what
focus on
hell?
That ass, DP.
And then you've got your really bad, cliched bad guy.
Oh, yeah, Josh Brolin.
Yeah, Josh Brolin, he like plays, hey, I'm your best friend, you know, I've got an evil goatee, if you need any help, give me a call. And then...
Well, you know, the evil goatee should have been a dead giveaway.
Love the evil goatee. It's like the beady eyes.
Now, there were moments, I have to admit, where there was good suspense. There, you know, suspense was created. I was in suspense. I was going, ooh, and then it's just really bad. It's
now,
bad.
The reason that I brought this up is that I just saw a new trailer. In the trailer, there's an ass in it, and I was like, okay, I think it's working this time. I want to see this movie.
Whose ass?
Maggie Grace from Lost.
Oh, I'll go all over that ass.
It is the movie. It is a movie.
Well.
It is the movie called The Fog.
The Fog really need to be remade?
No, not really. And I'm curious to what they do with it. I really enjoyed The Fog, actually, but I don't know what they're going to do. But let's check out the trailer to The Fog, and I'll point out the ass shot for you. Not that you need it pointed out to you if you're watching it, but it's scary. Uh-oh, scary music. Oh, man, maybe I shouldn't play this.
She's got really cute blue panties on, too, in the ass shot.
God.
It's always good to have Bill describing for us.
Yeah.
You're taking those historical notes, right?
It's like a fog bank.
Oh, and this, also, Maggie Grace from Lost, but Smallville's Tom Welling is in it.
Love this Smallville.
Superboy. Something evil's coming into town.
Elizabeth? What's wrong?
I keep seeing horrible things happening.
Uh-oh, the car died. Selma Blair!
Come on, please.
Don't you hate when the car won't start?
But I love the Selma Blair.
Oh, I can't stand her.
Yikes!
What's happening?
They killed him. Fall killed him.
Get off the island.
Why?
Just go.
Somebody out here?
Okay, when you hear a sound in the middle of nowhere in the dark, don't yell that out. Because you're not going to get answered. Oh, here we go, the ass shot. They just sold a ticket. If you want to hear lots of racket, see the fog.
Enjoy listening to this trailer.
Where are you? Nick!
You know, it doesn't look bad. I don't think it looks bad. Oh, okay, no, I'm not seeing it. They always gotta have the stinger at the end, like, okay, you kinda wanna see this, and boo!
Yikes.
It's like, oh my god, my heart just seized.
They should have just flashed Maggie Grace's ass in those panties again.
Oh god.
Jeez, pervo.
Pathetic.
Hey, I'm a historian of ass.
Greetings and salutations. You and Foggy.
Yeah.
Well, see you later.
Now, I will go see this, kind of. I'm not gonna go see it.
Bill,
will you download it on the internet?
Yeah.
And I'll check it out. Huh? Hmm?
Jennifer Love Hewitt, where?
They should have got her in this movie. Now, guys, let's talk about a movie that we all saw, Serenity, and it's not doing great at the box office. What happened, Bill?
I don't know, man. It's really hard to say.
Yeah, everybody,
I think it's got everything. It's got everything that people want to see.
It's,
you know,
number two. It made $10.1 million, but I think people were expecting it to, I don't know, $24 million opening weekend.
I was looking at the numbers from yesterday, and I'm really worried because I think it's down to $9 already. It only brought in $1.4 million on Friday.
And people may ask why we care. It's because we want a sequel, because we love the characters and stuff.
Well, I was going to say that this is a holiday weekend, and maybe it'll do better this weekend.
I hope so. I hope it has legs, as they say at the box office, where it lasts like a good month. Yeah, what holiday is this week?
Columbus Day.
Ah, yes. But all I'm saying is, go see it at least one more time. And I was thinking about this. They had a bunch of Serenity previews for fans. I'm talking like some people had seen this movie four times before it hit the theaters.
Yeah,
Did they not spend any money on it once it came out? They're like, I already saw it.
That was a huge mistake. I think it was good maybe one screening to kind of get word of mouth out on the internet, get people excited.
See, was the problem. They
not
wanted
a ton of screenings in every city.
They wanted to provide word of mouth, but the problem was the people who they needed to see the movie, which was Joe Blow, didn't get to see it because Serenity groups, the Browncoats and everything, got all the tickets and they went to go see it.
Yeah, there's Serenity groups or Firefly groups for like every city on those Yahoo groups.
And
they buy all the tickets.
They were gone in like that. Like, they're gone. There's no way to see it. And they were going to see it. They didn't need to see it early.
Well, I'll just say that one of the reasons why this movie is not doing as good as it should be is because of the fans. I think these the Signal podcast listening people.
These Browncoats are turncoats, actually.
Yeah.
Hey.
I'm not a Browncoat because I'm not registered on anything, but I'm a huge fan of Firefly. And I would willingly tell anyone to go see it, but I don't know. I guess I want it to succeed just as much as anyone else does. I have a tan coat, actually, but that doesn't mean anything.
I would like to see Serenity and Waiting both do better than they are right now.
Right. And
I don't think either film
I really
got
want to see
good
Waiting
enough coverage.
Right. I think that Waiting, you know, this guy, I've been talking about Waiting since I heard about it like a couple of months ago.
And you haven't seen
and
it.
I didn't even realize that it was out yet.
I
like
either.
Saw in the paper that they reviewed it, and I asked
and
my wife, and I goes, Waiting
the only channel I've seen it advertised on is fucking Spike. Spike.
No, I've seen it on
Spike.
They played on Comedy Central, and I've seen it during Kitchen Confidential on Fox.
I saw Dane Cook on Sci-Fi. No, Dane Cook was on Jay Leno.
Let's see what's on your TiVo.
Thank you.
All right, what's on your TiVo, everyone? Let's talk about the shows that we've watched during the week. I'm going to start off with another great episode of My Name is Earl. Is everyone watching the show, I hope? Because it's an awesome show.
I did catch it this week, yes.
Yes.
Vanessa, did you get to see it?
No.
Oh, bummer, because it's a really good show. I think that, I mean, Jason Lee is great. He was born to play
Ethan Suplee was... Yeah. Hilarious.
Yeah. We've actually got a clip of the show this week, thank God, because I want everyone to hear how great it is. But, you know, we've already gone over what My Name is Earl is. He's a guy who's been a bum his whole life. He's been a criminal, but he's a very good-hearted criminal, you know. And he's making up for all of the bad things he's done by doing good things, putting it, you know, back in place and fixing his karma.
Fixing his karma.
It's all about the karma. Bill, how funny was this episode? You got to help me out, Bill. Just...
This episode, this last week's episode was very funny, but I have to say the second episode with Donnie's mom had the most just full-on gut laughs.
Yeah. Well, this one had some good laughs, but yeah, that I think from each week it has different levels of the funny.
And Jamie Presley is so the white trash girl.
Yeah, she's too good at playing that, isn't
there's
she?
There's something there. She's got some trailer park in her.
she's had plenty of practice, that's for sure.
Yeah, she is. I mean, it's like
she's got that duck face, which just fits
it's the
perfectly.
Kind of thing where you're typecast, but you're really good at it, so why shouldn't you be?
Yeah, if you're making money at it.
Now, this episode, it had to do with Earl gets his car impounded. He gets it towed, and he
hides all his money in
his
car.
He hides like over about $100,000 he won from a scratch off in his car, and he gets it towed. And there's a great part where he thinks Joy, his ex-wife, played by Jamie Presley, stole his car and she'll get the money. But when he's talking to her, he realizes she had nothing to do with it. She called to have it towed to be mean. That's when his brother...
Ethan.
Yeah, what is his name?
Well,
anyway, he asks his brother about it and he goes,
that's a good thing.
She didn't even know you had all your money in there. And that's when he's like, oh, why'd you say that in front of her? The look on his face is priceless, as is hers.
Yeah, and it's a race to see who can raise the $3,000 first.
Right. Let's listen to this clip of My Name is Earl.
Where's my grandfather's cuckoo clock?
I found it.
What?
What do you think? Cigarettes grow on trees.
Except for scoliosis, the only thing my grandfather passed down to me was that cuckoo clock. And I couldn't stand the thought of my family's only heirloom sitting in a pawn shop.
You sure you want to get Grandpa's cuckoo clock back? That thing almost put my eye out.
Well, you shouldn't have been so close. You knew what time it was.
How much is it going to cost? That's an awful lot of vending machine donuts you're holding there.
I'm getting an extra 100 for Rosie. As long as we're here, I might as well cross number 58 off my list. Fixed a high school football game. I can't wait to see Rosie's face when I pay her back.
You disgust me, Earl Hickey, fixing a game. I should pull you through this talking hole and stomp on your sweaty little teabag.
What's up, teabag? Rosie? How you been?
You had one chance to feel what it was like to score a touchdown, and you threw it all away just because your worthless brother asked you to.
That was true. Maybe I didn't just cheat the bookie. Maybe I cheated Randy, too. I took away his one chance to score a touchdown. Randy, do you regret the fact that you never got to feel what it's like to score a touchdown?
I guess it would have been cool to get lifted up by people. I've never been lifted up before. Looks fun.
I think I have to put you on my list, Randy. I took away your touchdown. I got to give it back.
How in the world are you going to do that?
This may sound crazy, but I think you have to go back to high school.
And that was great because he went back to high school.
And there's his name, Randy.
One of the best parts is when he walks into the locker room and you see all the scrawny football players and the coach sees him.
The coach hugs him.
He just gives him a big hug.
Like, you got this balding big guy.
And he's got 5 o'clock shadow. But, man, that show was great. And one of the other funny parts is his girlfriend spray-painted "You are an ass" on his car. And to cover it up, they painted astronaut. So it says, "You are an astronaut" on his car.
Man, and that's just great. Whenever they pull up to the pawn shop, they changed it. You can see the "You are an astronaut." Just the way it's spelled is so funny.
I mean, I can't tell you how great the show is. it's funny because Earl can't get his car out of the impound because it'll cost $3,000
for all these tickets.
And it's in his car, and he's not going to tell these guys, hey, all my money's in the car, because naturally they'll go out there and take all of his money. So there's this great part where him and Donnie decide they're going to climb up the electric fence. He goes, look, it's not electrified. And they start climbing up, and then it comes
wait
in.
Wait for it.
And you see the guy with his hand on the switch. Yeah. He's like, wait for it. And he waits till they get to the top, and then he throws it, and they get electrocuted. The show is great.
Off the fence.
Okay, I'm looking at the Nielsen ratings, and on the top 10, My Name is Earl should be there, all right?
It really should. It's the funniest show I've seen in years.
I don't want to see
people
Joey or any of that
Friends,
crap.
Yeah. I mean, come on. Friends was not funny. It was stupid.
Well, that's
it. Irritating.
If you want to laugh, anybody could think this is funny. It's a great
Absolutely.
Show. And another show that we watch besides Veronica Mars is Alias. The episode 2 of Alias. Vaughn's dead. He died in the first episode of the season, and I wept.
Or at least we think he's dead.
I wept openly. I don't know about you, Bill. Did you?
Is that Michael Vartan's
yes.
role? Oh, okay.
I'm not saying he's dead.
He's dead.
Because it's Alias, and you never know.
You know, you got a point there. No one ever dies on Alias. But he, right now,
yeah, do you remember Evil Francie?
Yes. Oh, yeah, they have that. They already have that technology out there they've set up where people can copy. It could have not been. Here would be an interesting thing. Okay, Sydney's pregnant with Vaughn's baby. And, of course, her baby, too. You know, she
what
took part
in that.
What
if she's pregnant with Vaughn?
What if she's pregnant with a Vaughn imposter who did die, and Vaughn is somewhere in hypersleep, and then she gives birth to Rambaldi? Bum, bum, bum.
Well, you remember,
are
was
you talking the sixth day?
Yes.
Well, Jason, what season was that? Was that the beginning of season 2?
You have Foggy looking in there for Arnold Schwarzenegger clips.
Nerd alert!
All right.
Was that season 2 or season 3 that she woke up and there was that scar on her side like they harvested her eggs?
Oh, yeah, that was 2.
And then
the same thing happened
to
Starbuck.
Yeah, Starbuck.
Oh, yeah, you know what? I know exactly what you're talking about. That was season 3.
Yeah, so maybe some of her eggs are still viable and something happened. Who knows?
I'm very uncomfortable with this discussion. No, I'm kidding. Now, what happened at the end of the episode is Sydney learned that Vaughn was working with this lady named, not Anna Lucia, not Michelle Rodriguez, but what is her name? Renee Rien, the Raven.
Renee Rien.
Not Highlander the Raven, but the Raven.
Rien.
And she shows up to her place of business, and here is a scene of what happens when she shows up and talks to Highlander the Raven. Oh, I mean, not Highlander the Raven.
Me neither. It's no use. We better go.
Steven guest stars on this episode. Or is that Sydney breathing? Oh, that's some kind of
it's
leak.
Not me.
They're in some kind of in the back of the bar where they're at. There's an air leak.
I'm supposed to say it's not me. I swear.
It won't be a problem. I don't know if Vaughn ever mentioned, but I work with a genius. He'll be able to crack the encryption. I'll upload it for you. Here, take this. It's a secure line. Dial 9. Wait for the tone. Dial 816.
You're not bringing these back to the CIA.
No. We're an off-the-books division. It's different.
Not to me. I don't know them.
I do. You can trust them.
Who says I trust you? What did Michael tell you about me?
Is this girl a bad actress, or is that just her accent?
No, I think she's a bad actress. I was just thinking the same thing.
Now, Prophet 5 is the new bad guy this season. Who is Prophet 5? Who is this Kaiser Soze type organization? Is there a new one every year, Bill?
Sure as hell seems like it.
But I still love Alias. I even love a pregnant Sydney. Not in that way. I'm just saying that.
Perv.
Damn.
I got those websites for you.
No.
Check a bow.
Number 8. Yes. In number 6.
This clip is making me tired.
Yeah, what the hell are they talking about? I don't remember this.
I don't know. See, that's what happens with Alias. If you don't watch the show, you don't know what's going on.
All
if
I
you
heard look away about from trying to enter a code and I have a genius that works for me. Okay.
Yeah, she's talking about Marshall.
It's I don't like, trust
okay,
you.
Why yeah. tell him you got a genius?
Well, that's
for
because
you.
The viewers know who she's talking about. She's talking about Marshall.
Yeah, it's like a little, Marshall, hey.
Yeah, and I love Marshall. Marshall had one of the
Marshall
best.
Marshall Flinkman is the man.
He had the best part in this episode where he gets a phone call late at night, and he's so scared his wife's going to think he's having an affair, and that's the last thing on her mind. He even says, I'm not having an affair, honey. She goes, I know, just don't wake the baby up. You know, his son Mitchell. Mitchell!
The genius line just reminded me of that goofy TV show that's on called Numbers.
Oh, I've seen the previews for that.
The guy who sees everything in dimensions.
With David Krumholtz.
Yeah.
He plays Mr. Universe in Serenity.
The number. You know what? They should get the numbers guy to the Lost Island. Yeah. What do these numbers mean? He would, start scribbling like crazy on his chalkboard and. I really think a better title for Numbers should be 2 plus 2 equals murder.
Oh, God.
Would you guys watch that TV show?
Yeah. Numbers?
Yes. No, 2 plus 2 equals murder.
No, I don't watch Numbers.
And they could guest star Mariska Hargitay and it could be an Emmy worthy.
I just happened to watch. I happened to catch it last night.
Numbers?
Yeah, some of Numbers. Not all of it.
The Numbers.
Oh,
yeah. Which Numbers did you catch?
3, 24, and 68. I was one short. Sorry.
I thought you were saying 36, 24, 36.
Ah, those measurements. That's Christina Aguilera, isn't it?
It will be.
Right.
Now, a couple of other shows that we didn't cover last week were The Apprentice, Martha Stewart, and the Donald Trump edition. Vanessa, did you get to check those out this week?
I got to watch The Apprentice. I didn't get to see the Martha Stewart edition.
Neither did I. In fact, I removed it from my TiVo because I'm just so annoyed with it. Martha Stewart, she tries to play this happy person, and you can just tell she's fake. And then you have her daughter, who looks like a beaten puppy.
Oh,
you know,
she's
afraid to speak up. She looks around like
her daughter's on the show.
Yeah,
her daughter's one of her advisors, and you just look at her and you feel bad for her. And then you've got this arrogant asshole that sits on the other side of Martha, who always has this stupid friggin' cigar in his fingers.
It's like Donald Trump has his two wingmen.
Yeah, cigar is never lit. It's never lit,
Call
but he always
sir,
has
God
it.
Damn it.
Yeah. You just want to reach through the TV and slap him.
So this show is nowhere as good as the Donald Trump version?
No, I took it off my TiVo. I'm done with it.
Well, how is the Donald Trump version?
So now
is
we
that
need
been
to
pretty good?
Take it off your TiVo segment.
That's a great thing.
Now, Vanessa,
the Donald Trump version, it's a good show. It's well made. I always like watching it because I like to see how Donald Trump's mind works.
Yeah, I agree. And plus, you're starting to see the personalities come out of these people who are supposed to be all nice. The moment they become project manager, they become a different person.
Yeah.
This power goes to their head on some people, and some people are just lazy and try to pawn it off on everybody else. It's all their fault.
Well, you know, it's like part of being a project manager is delegating responsibility, but there's amount of responsibility that you need to keep for yourself.
Right.
This week was especially funny because they had to do a technology expo at an old folks' home. The women, of course, think, oh, you know, we're women, the old guys are there, they'll love this. And the old guys just loved it. They ate it up. One girl was demonstrating a pulse rate thing, and she attached it to herself, and she had these, these tight...
Yes, yes, yes.
She had these tight pants on, and she was showing her midriff.
Do they do this every season where the women just start selling their body?
Yeah, and it has been like that almost every season, but the best part of it was the woman who is supposedly a event planner was in charge of the food and, you know, everything else, and she had a cake that said Tefno Expo.
It was misspelled.
T-E-H-N-O.
Okay.
And the food was awful. It was a disaster for this woman to be an event planner. She will never get another job after people saw that on TV.
It was horrible.
It was embarrassing.
So
and
it didn't matter.
She, of course, was the one to get voted off.
Vanessa, are you going to continue to watch this? Are you hooked?
Oh, yeah. I've watched it every season, so.
I'm not hooked, but it's something I have on my TiVo, so I watch it.
Steven, last week you brought up Smallville. How is that this week?
Well, I was working late on Smallville night. Very disappointed. I missed it.
How are we going to talk about Smallville now?
Yes, I watched
Bill
it.
Bill watched it.
Oh,
thank God.
Thank you. Much like Superman saves the day, Bill
still saves the day. Clark is without his powers.
Without his powers, what happened?
That's what we didn't discuss at the end.
Took his powers away for not going back to the Fortress of Solitude at sundown.
Oh, did they do the thing like in Superman 2 where he decides he doesn't want his powers anymore?
No, no. At this one, it's at the end of the first, the season premiere, Chloe was transported to the Arctic with him. She was freezing to death.
Right.
So he broke loose of his trance, being taught all about his superpowers coming up and whatnot from Jor-El.
And boom goes the dynamite.
And he breaks through it, and he sees Chloe there on the ground, and he asks his father, I need to take her to save her. And he goes, she's a mere mortal. She's of no consequence.
A mere mortal.
You know, it's like, she's my friend. He goes, well, you have till sundown to come back. Well, he goes...
Is it like a...
He takes Chloe to the closest town.
A hologram?
Kinda. It's not really... You don't ever see...
It's just the voice.
Yeah, it's just a voice in this weird vortex.
Whose voice? What actor plays him?
Terrence Stamp.
Ah, yeah. Hey, it's Zod, the real Zod.
Yeah.
Disciples of Zod. Are they back on this week?
No, they are not.
They got caught in that mirror thing that floats around, you know?
I mean, who's writing this show?
They got caught in this same exact mirror.
Resistance is futile.
So at the end of this premiere, he's seeing the news when he takes Chloe to the hospital that Smallville has been pummeled by all these meteorites.
Right.
And
Which sucks, that happens every once in a while.
And they flash to their farmhouse and sees that it's destroyed.
And so
he goes back home to see if mom and dad are okay.
So essentially he never returns to get his powers back.
Correct.
And so it picks up this week, and what happens?
This week they're rebuilding the town, they're at a barn raising, he's still without his powers, and he's commenting to his dad about how he forgot how heavy things are, but he'll get used to it. And he seems genuinely happy to be without his powers, you know, be like everyone else.
Energy cell exhausted.
Is this show like I'm going to say Jump the Shark this year, or is it already
not
done
yet.
That a long time
ago? Not yet. If it did jump the shark, it jumped it a long time ago. I would have to say that the Jump the Shark factor is the freak of the week bit that they seem to do, which is back again this week. Clark, it's discovered at the end of the episode that Lex went to Belrive and released three freaks. They come after Clark, and the whole thing is a ploy by Lex to see if Clark
has powers
and if the kryptonite affects him. So there's a really bad story basically where Clark and Chloe break into level 3, which is the experimenting level of Luther Corp.
Man, you're totally
and
they,
me. Yeah, let me just sum it up a bit. It wasn't a very good episode, but they are promoting next week's episode as the one not to miss, just like they promoted this week's episode. So, Smallville is Smallville.
I'm not going to debate you, Jerry. Okay. I'm not going to sit here and debate.
Now, we go from Smallville to a very good episode of Veronica Mars this week. I thought it was awesome. What do you think?
I liked it, but
Kevin Smith guest starred on this episode, too.
Yeah, but why? You know, I really didn't see any reasoning for him to be there.
Because he's friends with the producer, and they asked him, and he's since become a big fan of the show.
And he's been on everything lately.
Well, what's funny is he plays a clerk to a convenience store. Get it?
Yeah.
Well, he was on Joey's, too.
And I actually have a clip of...
What?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was on Joey a couple weeks
mm-hmm.
ago, yes. I think he's just a whore for attention.
I think he lives out in L.A. now, and he'll do anything.
He did, yeah, he moved to L.A.
Now, I have a clip of his appearance on the show, and let's check that out.
Now, how to convince this spotlight-loving bozo that I'm his friend... Please let Ed Doyle's last meal be super caffeinated. Give me something good to tell Jesse.
Hey, you're the guy from the news, right?
I am, man. Did you see that? Check you out. Let me ask you a question. I look fat to you? Because I was watching it on the news, and I was like, damn, I look fat. Then I read something online that says, like, the camera adds 10 pounds. So I was thinking maybe it was them. But just in case, though, I started a diet regimen this morning.
God,
That must have been so freaky to be the last one to talk to the bus driver.
It was weird.
At the end of the last episode, we saw the school bus go off a cliff. And what happened on the...
see it go off the cliff.
What happened in this episode is the police are, like, automatically blaming it on the driver, saying he was suicidal. You think, okay, the guy probably killed himself and took the kids with him. But the problem was the girl at school, a fellow student who is the daughter of the school bus driver, asked Veronica, please prove my dad didn't kill himself. You know, it's destroyed our family. Everyone thinks my dad killed all their friends, took them with him.
Right.
And so she sees Kevin Smith on TV. He's telling the news what the last things he bought, bus driver bought were, and she's there to get some clues. Now, in this episode also...
introduced a new character.
Right, the new character is played by who?
Steve Guttenberg is now on Veronica Mars. Glad to see Sergeant Mahoney getting a little work now.
Yeah, Mahoney. Yeah, he's a new character on the show, and he's really good. And he always was good. I don't know what happened to Steve Guttenberg. He just...
Well, I think he dropped off the face of the planet to take care of his ailing parents out in New York or whatever. And he came back like 2 or 3 years ago. He directed his own film.
Well, you know what? It's good to see him back.
Yeah, it is. I always enjoyed him as a comedic actor. And it's nice to see him just back doing his thing.
And immediately he wants... Keith Mars, Veronica's dad, to run for sheriff because a bunch of tools are running the police department there. We see that, is it Duncan? Which is her, I keep getting her boyfriend and her ex-boyfriend mixed up. It's Duncan and what?
Duncan and Logan, correct?
Yeah, Duncan and Logan. Logan is the punk-ass guy, right?
Yeah, Logan's the punk with the dad that tried to kill Veronica.
And he's sleeping with his best friend's new,
stepmother.
Dad's...
played by Charisma Carpenter.
And they have a weird, creepy kind of Stepford dad who takes him to the firing range with them.
Yeah.
And he's nailing his girlfriend. So he's become kind of in a real dark place. He's just like, I don't know what he's doing. But at first, I was kind of disappointed him and Veronica broke up. But now I'm seeing that he's got a lot of problems.
I think they're kind of foreshadowing that Logan is just as insane as his father.
Right, and hopefully they're foreshadowing in a way they're throwing us off. Maybe he's not that far gone.
They may be throwing us off, but I highly doubt that. The character just seems so slimy.
Yeah, what's great about the show is it does lead us into different areas where we kind of try to guess. That's what I love about the show. There's always mysteries every week, and they introduced a new character, a girl named Jackie. Who
looks like a black Katie Holmes.
Yeah, hopefully.
Yeah, she's an attractive girl.
Yeah, and I think it's cool that they introduce new characters and stuff. Let's play a clip of next week's episode.
9 p.m. Wednesday.
Can I talk to you for a sec?
When her friends need the truth, they turn to Veronica Mars.
You are talking to me.
Sheriff wants to ask you some questions.
His body washed up on the beach, beaten to death.
You're 18 now, kiddo.
It would look bad if Veronica got arrested.
I confess.
But where can she turn when all the clues point to?
Veronica. It was me. They all died because of me.
An all-new Veronica Mars. UPN Wednesday at 9, 8 central.
Hey, I'll be tuning in.
Okay, so I guess they're implying something with the bus.
Right. A guy washed up on the beach at the end, a dead body, and on his hand was written Veronica Mars, and the police saw that cliffhanger.
Dun, dun.
Now, Vanessa, what happened this week on Survivor?
Actually, pretty much the same, except this time they did a little change-up. They switched the tribes out. They had them do, usually they'll have them do a reward challenge where they can win food or blankets and stuff like that.
Right.
And this time they had it to where they had to answer questions like, who do you think is the smelliest? And whoever they picked for each tribe got a shower. So they said, who do you think has the most tribe spirit? And they picked someone, and they were the only ones to remain on that tribe. And then they switched everybody else up, except for some they had sent on a picnic who came back and were like, what are you doing here?
Now, I'm sorry to interrupt, but wasn't there a weird scene with two guys urinating and forming a pact?
Yeah, that was really, really odd.
Now, what was the weirdest thing, or I guess the grossest thing,
they
shook hands after their That was really odd.
So kind of like a Blood Brothers thing, but they're piss brothers.
Yeah, I was hoping that was just like an editing thing, you know, that maybe they wiped their hands off or something, but
that's
to be standing...
thing.
I mean, these guys were right next to each other taking a piss-talking strategy.
Yeah, it's like...
it's not like you're at a urinal where, you know, your junk is kind of hidden from the other guy.
They're just... they're all out
in
the open.
They're standing right there.
Oh, gnarly!
I thought maybe that was what guys did. I don't know.
No. Yeah. No.
It's like, guys, hey, let's go take that. A leak together and chat.
It's not like, hey, let's go take a leak, look at my dick. You know, no, guys aren't like that. That's why urinals have sides to them.
Right. Or if there's no sides, then there's the obligatory, if there's a multiple in a row, you got to stand one urinal apart.
Now, yeah, and you look up at the ceiling.
Is this pact going to last, do you think, Vanessa?
Never. It never does.
Survivor, I don't know about you, Vanessa, but I think Survivor's really bad this year. I think that they just picked the bad spot for it.
It's different. It seems like, I don't know, it's not as exciting as it used to be. It's very... draft.
You know what it feels like? It feels like the Australian and the African one. Remember how bad the African one was? It just kind of was slow.
Yeah.
And there was really nothing going on. This is how that one was. The most exciting part of the Australian one was whenever the guy fell in the fire and burned his face and hands.
Even yeah. I knew about that one.
That was horrible.
Boy.
Now, Survivor is kind of on the cusp.
Yeah, Survivor's on the in a lull.
Now, one thing I have to admit to you guys, I did not watch this week, and I've lost interest, is this. The Ghost yeah. Whisperer. I'm not watching it anymore.
It's too painful.
I rolled into town Friday night from my out-of-town job, and that was on TV.
Did you watch it?
Oh, I tried to set through some of it.
Silence, if you please.
Now, as much as I find Jennifer Love Hewitt completely lustfully attractive, I just can't sit through
it. You sounded like Dirty Harry just then.
This week was a lot of flashbacks. She was flashing back to whenever she remembers getting her ghost powers.
If I can't sit and just kind of chill out and watch something and follow, if I'm like, I start rubbing my head like my head's starting to hurt, I just can't do it anymore. I'm not going to watch it.
That's it, man. Game over, man. It's game over.
But I did record Threshold, and I haven't watched it yet, and I'm still hanging in there on that because Carla Gugino she's more of a woman than JLH.
I haven't watched it yet either, but it is on my TiVo.
And I still am TiVoing Invasion, but is it going to be on that much longer?
I don't know, but I've TiVoed every episode of Invasion so far and have yet to watch any of it.
Yeah.
See, I've watched Invasion. I watched both of those this week. I actually get to see you.
I am very disappointed!
So is Invasion worth watching? Should I watch it?
Invasion, it's starting to try. They're trying to.
Are they trying to lost it? Go lost on it? Like they're going to tease us at the end of each episode? Like, come on, yeah, you know they're going to come back.
There's a little bit where they're. It's like now the secret branch of the military. They don't know who it is. It's the Air Force.
Oh,
is it
man.
Whatever? You know, it's yeah. the black helicopter. It's
you're tearing me apart.
All right,
who is it?
I think I might be deleting that scene.
Yeah, I might not watch it at all.
Yeah, Lost, they have the formula, they're doing it right. It's time to talk about Lost.
I'm lost.
I'm lost in Steven's breathing. It's like a fog, a scary fog. But it's okay, because Maggie Grace's butt is right here. All right, Lost. Great episode. I thought it was a lot better than last week. It picked up right when Michael and Sawyer show up and they find Jen, who's going, Udders! Udders! And they're like, huh? What are you saying? And what have they been waiting for the whole time is the others to show up. I would have picked up right away the dude saying others.
Yeah.
The only other thing I would have thought is a stampede of cows are coming.
Yeah, udders.
Stampede, cow udders. All right, we spelled that out.
Udders.
The joke failed. Failure, massive failure.
We had a new character brought into the picture.
And I want to talk about Michael, Jen, and Sawyer before we go into the main part of the story, which was Locke.
Let's discuss the trifecta of stupidity.
Yes, they are dragged to a pit, thrown in, and it turns out they're not the others. I don't think they're the others.
No, I think they might have been the other survivors from the rear of the plane.
Yeah, the tail section. They dump a chick in there, and it turns out it's Michelle Rodriguez.
Oh, God.
Famous
from
for
SWAT.
Roles. Yeah, from SWAT, from Resident Evil, and from Fast and the Furious. And you know
and
what's
the
crazy?
The only good movie she ever did was Girl Fight.
And she is playing the same character, apparently. I guess, you know.
In every movie.
She's one tough cookie. So, of course, she makes it. She's like, oh, my God, they threw. Where did you guys come from? And it's obvious right away. She's just down there to get information from them.
Yeah.
Sawyer says, I got a gun. Let's create a diversion. So she gets the gun from him, punches him in the face, just like she punches a guy in the face in every single movie she does. So it's a, like a fine tradition in her body of work. And can I just say that Michelle Rodriguez gets on my nerves so much that it's close to ruining the show for me. She gets on my nerves. And we cut back to Jack and Locke and Desmond in the bunker. Kate has crawled up into the ductwork, and she's slowly creeping up on Desmond, who's holding a gun to Locke's head. And this is what happens. She grabs a rifle and she loads it.
What did you do?
What the hell is he talking about?
Look at the wall! That's the timer that's counting down!
You got him. Whatever you're looking for, maybe I can help.
Can you fix the computer?
Sonny, we need your help.
Look, you want to get to work, you're going to tell me how you got here. I was at a solar racer on the walls. And my boat crashed into the reef, and then Kelvin came. He brings me down here. First thing he does, because it's peeping already, he types in the code, he pushes the button, and it stops. What was all that about, I say? Just saving the world, he says.
You're going to take his word for it.
His word is all we have, Jack.
You don't have to take my word for it. Watch the film.
So what you see there is happens is the computer gets damaged by a bullet, which I think the computer screwed at that point. He's freaking out because you gotta type in the number. Now, what happens is they send Kate off to go get Saeed, who's a resident technology expert on the island.
He can rebuild an Apple IIe.
He can
like that.
He can do anything. He can.
No, it was a Wang. Wang.
Now, okay.
Wang. I don't know that I want to say that he fixes a Wang.
That's wheels off.
That's wheels off.
Now, okay, all we want Jack to do is to shut up and listen to the guy for a minute. Jack was kind of getting on my nerves there because he's just like, what is this crap?
Well, I think they try to push that man of science thing to a point where it's just, hey, enough.
Now, what he says is, go watch the orientation film. And it's like, huh? So then they watch this film, and this film was great. I thought it was great. So let's just watch that for a second and get to see the reaction.
Girl. The Dharma Initiative was created in 1970 and is the brainchild of Gerald and Karen de Groot. Imagine a large-scale communal research compound where scientists and freethinkers from around the globe could pursue research in meteorology, psychology, parapsychology, zoology, electromagnetism. The Station 3 was originally constructed as a laboratory. Not long after the experiments began, however, there was an incident. Every 108 minutes, the button must be pushed. From the moment the alarm sounds, you will have 4 minutes to enter the code into the microcomputer processor. Until your replacements arrive, the future of the project is in your hands.
Now, the film is all jacked, and that's what all the pops and stuff are. An incident happened on the island. They were doing some kind of research.
It's a research plant.
And now they have to type in this code, the 4, 8, 15, 16, 28, 42, every 108 minutes. There was a great moment where Locke says, we need to watch that again. The thing that I think is interesting about this is the film showed all of, it teased us with different things. Like, we've already seen polar bears on the island, which is strange. There's been polar bears in the comic book. Michael gave his son Walter, in a flashback, a little polar bear stuffed animal. And this, you see two polar bears fighting. Are they just teasing us, Bill?
Yeah.
And they're doing a good job because it makes me excited each week.
See, I see where they're getting the Manhattan Project.
You mean the Philadelphia
experiment. Yeah, sorry.
Also, you notice that there's so many pops, it sounds edited when he says, you must hit the button. He doesn't say anything about the numbers, but he does say a code. And I'm wondering if there's parts of the film that are there. We've lost something in the translation.
Yeah,
so you think it might have been spliced together or something has been edited out of this film?
I'm not even going to go that far as to try to speculate on that. That's stepping a little close to the stupid loss for me.
Now, here's what happens as Desmond's trying to fix the computer and he throws the power to turn it back on.
It's over.
Hurry, where are you going?
As far as I can run, brother.
Dude.
Stop. Right, listen carefully. If you manage by some miracle to get that computer working again, you got the end of the code. 4-8-15-16-23-42. Hit execute. Again, 4-8-15.
Shut up! Nothing is going to happen!
In about 15 minutes, you're either going to be very right or very wrong, brother.
Yeah, Jack still doesn't believe it. He thinks it's some kind of experiment on humans. Like, they're just seeing if you will continue to enter this code like a mouse in a maze or something. And he could be right. But can you gamble that? There's so much goofy crap that's happened on this island, you don't know. And
well, I don't know if it's gambling as much as just the dynamic of the people. You've got Locke, who, quite frankly, although a great character, is a tad bizarre.
Right. This whole episode kind of deals with the backstory of him dealing with his father that doesn't love him, who screwed him over for a kidney.
Yeah.
And the show opens up with him in a group for coping for something. They never say what kind of group it is, do they? Is it just people who have anger issues or problems?
Yeah, I think it has something to do with self-help.
He hooks up with Katie Sagal.
Yeah, Katie Sagal from
Married
with Children is there, and she comforts him. And I started to think, you know, she's very interested in him, but has she been hired by his dad to get rid of him? Like, kind of give him something to do, you know, get him laid or something. What we see about Locke is he has nothing. He's got nothing. No, his dad even says, you are not wanted here. And it just destroys him. And he just wants to belong to something. And here is the final clip. They get the power back on.
It was a code. He made me enter it.
What code?
4.
What is this thing? We don't even know what it does. I mean, we need...
32. You know what? Forget it. Go ahead. Do your thing.
It's 42. Last number's 42.
You do it, Jack.
Look, you want to push the button? You do it yourself.
It's a leap of faith, Jack. I'll take the first shift.
And see what happens there is it resets to 108. And Locke says, I'll take the first shift. So now they're going to have to sit down here and enter this code in every 108 minutes.
So now is it seems like they're experimenting with each other to see how far they can push each other. You know, it's like this guy, you're breaking his scientific...
Right.
Reasoning.
And was part of... Were you kind of hoping that Jack didn't hit it to see what would happen?
Well, if he was so scientific about it,
well, see,
why would he give the right last number? Go ahead, push
the thing that wasn't in the clip is Desmond brings up his wife to Jack. Like, what happened to your wife? You know, he goes, what happened to the girl? And he said, I married her. I can see that you're not married to anymore. And it just kind of crushes him, Jack. You can tell he, like, becomes a mess whenever something about whatever happened
whatever
to his
happened
wife.
To...
Yeah,
and
something
that,
happened.
That kind of messed with him, and he went ahead and gave in to Locke. I thought it was a good episode, and of course I'm anxious for next week. Although I'm not anxious to see Michelle Rodriguez again, I hope that she dies quickly on this show. I mean, get her off the island. She's annoying. The one thing that I did like is she punches Sawyer in the previews, and he goes, you do that again, I'll kill you. And I'm like, yes, please snap her neck. All right.
You know, it's hard to talk about Lost because there's so much speculation.
Right.
And just, it's a hard show to talk about.
There
you
is.
You kind of have to sit and watch and try in your mind just to figure it out, but it's
there
impossible.
Are people out there, Bill, that are trying to figure this out.
You don't say.
It's time for Lost Theories.
Stupid Lost Theories!
Now, Bill, I have a doozy. Are you ready for...
I have a pretty good one, too.
I've got one short one, and I've got two, actually. One guy says that the 108 minutes that passes that they must enter the code causes the island to become invisible because a satellite is flying overhead. That's pretty simple theory, but were satellites around back when the bunker was supposedly built?
1971? Sure, 1971.
Yeah, well, sure, satellites were around, but...
So he's right.
But so many more satellites are around, wouldn't the 108 kind of not have... I don't know. That's don't know. Really stupid.
You don't think it would have the ability to hide it from the newer fangled satellites?
Yeah. Hey, you never know. There's a strong electromagnetic field coming from the island.
Maybe
okay,
it'll open up
here
a
is,
wormhole.
And... Here is my main theory, and that is Desmond is the Antichrist.
What would the Antichrist be doing on an island in the South Pacific?
Now, just listen to this. He's been quarantined down there till Armageddon.
The Antichrist appears before Armageddon.
The reason that they took Walt is because he has psychic powers and would know that the devil is down there in the hatch.
That's so incredibly stupid.
Now, listen to this. He listens to the song Make Your Own Kind of Music. And this guy in his theory says that the devil, before he became a fallen angel, was in charge of music in heaven.
That's true.
He was the DJ in heaven.
Yep.
You know what? This guy needs to run the tube sock gauntlet.
He also explains that the reason that he has a gun down there, he has guns and he would need one, is because he's a normal man until the spirit of evil enters his body.
Okay.
Now here's the best part. He has an equation. 666 equals 216 divided by 2 equals 108. The sum
of... How does 666 equal 216?
I don't know, but this is what he says. And it makes a lot of sense because 108 is the sum of 4, 8, 15, 16, 28, 42. So Desmond is the Antichrist. Bill, what is your theory?
You know, I have a really hard time looking at these theories online to the point where it gives me a headache. So I kind of just dig through, and if one stands out, I grab it. And Lost, the writers of Lost love to tease us, and they post these websites specifically. They posted the website for the Hanso Institute? The
right.
People running these experiments. And listed on there under continuing experiments or whatever is Juxtapositional Eugenics Development Institute.
The what?
And as we know, eugenics is the... study of selective breeding. But Juxtapositional Eugenics Development Institute stands in letters G-E-D-I. And what does G-E-D-I spell?
That's Wheels Off.
Wheels Off?
Getty?
No. It spells...
Jedi! Awesome. I got what you're doing.
They are developing Jedi.
You've got to be. This person, people must smoke crack.
Did someone really write this?
Yeah, it's on the Oceanic Flight 815 site under the Security System Forum, and the post title is Juxtapositional Eugenics Development Institute, and all it says is J-E-D-I, and that's
Danger,
it. And underneath
Bill Robinson,
it says...
Danger.
Coincidence? Question mark.
Yes, it is a coincidence. And yeah. Burn your computer now.
Yeah, so please, people, just watch the show.
Let's play the Movie Drops game. This is the game where I play sound clips from movies, and Vanessa tries to guess what the movie is. All right, we changed up the game last week, and I need to redo that intro. And we have four movies this time. And the way we play the Movie Drops game is we play three clues, and then whoever guesses it first gets a point for that movie. Here is clue number one.
I'll fix you some eggs.
Honey, you can sleep.
Gotta eat a breakfast. I'll fix you some eggs.
That is clue number one. Here is clue number two.
What do you think they do there? They don't drink milkshakes, I assure you.
And clue number three.
What the hell are you doing? I'm banging that girl.
Anybody know what the movie is?
I have no idea.
No idea.
Steven?
Play that last clue. Can you play that last clue again?
Sounded like Buscemi.
What the hell are you doing? I'm banging that girl.
No, it's...
All right. What did you say, Vanessa?
Fargo.
That's it.
Yay!
Vanessa has 1 point on her guess.
Take that.
All right, here is movie number two.
If you want to be rid of him, just tell him you won't treat him anymore.
Catherine, that's easy for you to say. The man is human crazy glue.
So you should never have let him sleep in your pajamas, Leo.
Darn! I'm hearing this.
All right, that's clue number one. Here is clue number two.
Leo? Daddy, it's me, Anna.
Leo, it's me, Lily, your sister. Come back to us.
The worst is over.
Yeah, Dad. How much worse can it get?
And clue number three.
Excuse me, Phil, but with these particular symptoms, is Prozac the right choice?
You think Prozac is a mistake?
Well, this kind of manic episode, I would think that Librium might be a more effective management tool.
You could be right. I'll rewrite the prescription.
All right, what movie is it?
What about Bob?
Oh, Steve got it.
Got it in on the fast.
You. I just knew Bill was going to come.
I thought he was going to just come spurt.
I was, you know, I just kind of sat back and waited. I thought I was being nice.
Yeah.
I was going to say, I was, you know, thinking of what I was going to say, something along the lines
All
of
right,
the only movie I've ever laughed at that I'm equally annoyed with.
We are on movie number three. Here's clue number one.
You think you hate it now, but wait till you drive it.
Clue number two.
I'm going steady, and I French kiss.
So everybody does that.
Yeah, but Daddy says I'm the best at it.
Oh, God, I know that.
And clue number three.
Hey, excuse me, Holmes. Aha. What it is, bro? We're from out of town. No shit.
What movie is it?
Hey!
Was that Vanessa? Did Vanessa get it?
Yes.
Yes.
I think she just said vacation. It's National Lampoon's Vacation.
We'll give Bill a half point for that one. Vanessa, a full point.
I was wondering, okay, can we do it? I don't know about this way. Say that, okay, you know it on the first, from your hardest clip. Is that going to be the first person who gets a choice at saying it, you know?
No, because I want to play the clips. It takes a while to do this.
I understand that, but I'm saying we need to call dibs. If Bill says he knows it on your first clip,
yes. Okay.
He gets the first choice. How about that?
That sounds good.
Make it fair?
Yes. I don't even remember what the last movie is, but here's clue number one.
What? Over? Did you say over? Nothing is over until we decide it is. Was it over when the Germans bombed Pearl Harbor? Hell no!
I got it.
Germans? Forget it, he's rolling.
And it ain't over now. Because when the going gets tough... the tough get going! Who's with me? Let's go! Come on!
That's a long clip.
And I'm sure
I know it.
Steven called it first. He'll get to get... Here's clue number two.
I think I'm in love with a retard.
She's bigger than me.
All right, and here is clue number three.
They're well-known homosexual.
All right, that was a short one.
All right, Bill, I'm giving this one to you, okay? It's National Lampoon's Animal House.
Now you gotta say National Lampoon.
Yeah, that's why I said it.
You know what? I didn't even realize it till now that I had two National Lampoon movies in there. All right, that is Movie Drops. Steven with 1 point. Vanessa, did you have a hat trick? Or did Steven have two?
I had two.
Ah,
they both had one.
I had two. She had one.
Vanessa had one and two.
Yeah.
She got Fargo
two.
And what?
Okay.
And then, The other one.
The only way to win
you got Vacation. You got Vacation half, and Bill got half.
Yeah, Bill got What About Bob.
No, I got What About Bob.
Man, I'm confused about this.
I got What About Bob in the Animal House.
So no one won.
I got 2 points.
Oh, Steven won.
I got 2 points. Vanessa got 1.5. Bill got half.
1.5? What did you...
Bill got 1.5, I think.
They split that half point on Vacation.
Oh. I give my points to Vanessa. She wins.
No, it ties it up at 2-2.
Yes or no.
All right. Steven won. All right, Bill, what DVDs are coming out this week?
This week, October 11th, 2005, we've got Veronica Mars, the complete first season, coming out.
Oh, nice.
It features 20 minutes of unaired scenes. I don't know if those are reincorporated.
This would be a perfect Christmas gift for Vanessa, who's never watched the show.
Yeah, the extended version of the pilot episode with an unaired opening sequence. This is what I'll be buying you for Christmas, Jason.
Ooh.
You can't Martha Stewart, handle the truth.
Martha Stewart holiday gift set.
No, thank you.
Featuring three of her holiday features.
And favorite
including,
spices.
Including Thanksgiving, Christmas, and kids' ideas.
Nice. Okay, sign me up.
Yeah, a movie with Will Ferrell that no one saw called Kicking and Screaming is being released.
Oh, yeah. You know what? That didn't look bad.
Thought it way better horrible. Than Anchorman. Horrible.
I think you kind of need to be drunk or high to watch Anchorman, because I found it funny, and I was drunk.
I thought it was funny.
I didn't like it.
I really enjoyed this one. I even sent you a copy of it. In French, it's known as Hot Tension. Here, it's known as High Tension.
That sounds
some
tense.
People have complained about it.
Yeah,
because
I've heard this.
It is very similar to the Dean Koontz novel Intensity. In more ways than just
I've heard coincidental. It's very, very close to plagiarism.
Yeah, I would have to say it is, but that doesn't take away from the fact that it is a good slasher flick.
Oh, that's
it's got
right.
great tension, and it's very bloody. A great TV series from HBO, The Best of Chris Rock Show, Volumes 1 and 2, features some of his best bits.
Chris Rock Show? When did that come on?
That was on years ago on HBO. Years ago.
You have to
very
ask
funny.
Me nicely.
Oh, okay, I know what you're talking about. I never watched it even once. Was it good?
Yeah, it was very good, funny. Yeah. Here's another DVD, Ridley Scott's revisionist history tale, Kingdom of Heaven, which I don't think anyone really saw.
Did you say it was a revisionist tale?
Yeah, it really took the tale of the Crusades and made it bland and boring and politically correct, and it just ruined the entire movie, and it's very heavy-handed.
That is one big pile
obviously,
of shit.
Yeah, it's one big pile of shit.
Does it have kick-ass battle scenes? Does it have one army running towards another army, and then they collide together in a huge panoramic of blood and
lust? And
does it have that? Then I'm there.
You know what? If you want to watch a better Ridley Scott film, watch Blade Runner or even Gladiator.
Or Alien.
Or yeah. Alien. Kingdom of Heaven just really stunk. And our last DVD that I cannot recommend enough, an excellent film with Morgan Freeman, Jet Li, known here in America as Unleashed, overseas known as Danny the Dog.
I have seen this movie.
It's the unrated version of Unleashed. It's an excellent film. Fight choreography by Yen Wo Ping, Matrix, Kill Bill Volumes 1 and 2. Don't rent it, buy it.
Yeah,
love it.
Vanessa, it is really good. If you're a Jet Li fan, you
plus
should.
It's got DTS 5.
Struggling.
Well, that makes it even
ooh,
better.
Ooh, DTS.
That's a great thing.
Yes, it is, Steven.
All right, and that's the DVDs. It's not a real big week for DVDs, but there are some excellent ones out there, so give them a look.
Let's do some news. From the Mulberry News Desk, here's Vanessa.
Thank you, Jason. In Glenwood Springs, Colorado, Angelique Fiorillo says that a boulder that crashed through her one wall of her second-story apartment and out another might have struck her if she had been in her usual spot watching Oprah. Fiorillo says she was at a neighbor's apartment when the table-sized rock thundered down Red Mountain Tuesday afternoon. We're like, oh my God, what is that? She said. Her husband was at work, and her two cats, Odin and Loki, took cover under a bedroom dresser and were unhurt. Rain had apparently loosened the mountainside and unleashed a slide that sent the boulder bouncing down the mountainside, glancing off tree branches, and then crashing through a corner of Fiorello's apartment. Try saying that name three times fast. It landed on the grass lawn outside.
So, okay, let me get this straight. She was watching Oprah, or she
no,
wasn't?
No, she wasn't watching Oprah.
And she was and in her normal spot watching Oprah.
Oh. Yeah.
And I always knew that Oprah kills, so this is no surprise.
Danger, Will Robinson, danger!
All right, for all of you Tom Cruise non-fans, Katie Holmes will be giving birth without painkillers or screaming, because Tom Cruise is a Scientologist.
I love you. You complete me.
He knocked her up.
Scientologists don't allow epidurals or anything.
They don't.
No drugs. You can't even scream.
Now, okay, yeah. I know L. Ron Hubbard is crazy, but why did he even go here? Or did he? Did he actually create this that women shouldn't make these?
Yes.
Yeah, silent birth is what it's called.
So they can't scream, they can't
No, because
heavy.
You will traumatize the child from your screams.
What and about the child that's screaming?
The child is okay. He's the one freaked out coming into this world.
What about L. Ron Hubbard's child that killed himself because this man was so freaking
What
crazy?
About L. Ron who killed himself?
Obviously,
did
the
L.
mother...
Ron kill himself?
Yeah.
I thought it was his son Quentin that killed himself.
No, he killed himself too.
No way!
But yeah, I mean... I've had two children, and there's no way you could be quiet. It's impossible. But yeah, Kelly Preston and John Travolta are both Scientologists too. And
did she go through this?
I would have to say,
she screamed, "Give me an epidural."
They're super Scientologists.
Yeah, and she screamed. She said, "You know that it's easy
Steven
for Tom. Basically,
name.
It's easy for Tom Cruise to say that, or you know, even for
any man, for that matter.
Try squeezing a watermelon through." A space like the size of a quarter.
We know the space.
No, okay. Okay, now that I'm reading, it says that for a week the baby shouldn't hear anything.
Exactly.
This baby's going to be retarded. It's not going to get any stimulation at all for a week.
Uh-uh.
This is stupid.
Well, that's how you breed brainwashed Scientologists. You start young.
You feed them mush. You feed them food with no protein.
That's a great thing.
No, it's not, Steven. How could you say something like that?
Just because it is.
It's unrealistic. It's very unrealistic. I mean, even the first week, you're singing to the baby, you're talking
to
the
Yeah, you're
lot,
holding
you
know. It, you're going, hey, baby, chooka-chooka-boo-goo. And they're not saying...
Does baby have to go through a cleansing, you know, like whenever they go through that whole body thing?
When they go through what?
The body feating thing, the cleansing where they have to spend like
to be
48
a healthy
hours in a
thetan,
sauna or whatever.
Thetan or thetan. You say thetan, I say thetan. This is all made up and it's based on a bad sci-fi writer's ideas. And the fact that she's doing this to her baby is, it's just sad.
Mad.
That is loud.
Yeah. We really need to line up all the Scientologists of the world and just kill them because it's worthless. There's no saving them.
Well, the thing that cracked me up about the story was the name of the guy who wrote it, Corky Shamashko. I just thought it was
Corky Shamashko.
I love his stuff.
He's great.
His name, I mean Corky, come on.
Here's what I want to tell to Casey.
Come on, I can't believe
he's
writing now
story,
after doing the Life Goes
idea.
On TV show,
have
Corky.
A point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
All right, Vanessa, next story.
Sorry.
Let me just say that if anybody at all is interested in what I was saying, go to Xenu, XENU.net, and read the Xenu leaflet. That is
leaflet.
Everything.
Hey, where are the white women at?
About it.
Exactly.
The white women are with Xenu.
Any more stories, Vanessa?
Well, actually, it's going to give you the weekend box office.
Ooh, yeah, let's hear it. Let's hear how Serenity's doing.
All right. Number one, of course, is Flight Plan with a weekend box office.
Why? Why are people going to see this movie?
Because it's got Jodie Foster in it, and it's awful.
She looks old.
She is old.
But
Access denied.
I haven't seen her in a while, I guess in a movie in a while, except for watching her older movies. And when I saw her, my God.
Okay, I like Jodie Foster. She's a good actress. The movie looked horrible.
What are you people? On dope?
It looks lame.
It is lame.
It was a ripoff.
2 hours of just boring.
What was number two, Vanessa?
Serenity.
Yep,
it made $10.1 million this weekend.
Now, see, that's what I was talking about earlier in the show, that I was hoping it was number one and it made like $24 million. But, you know, this is a time of year where not a lot of people go to the movie.
It's surprising that Jodie Foster, not making a movie in so long, can actually bring in an audience for a number one film.
Yeah,
but you got to look at something here.
But you know what I've heard is that it's not a success. It's still not making as much money as they hoped because it costs a lot of money.
Well, with Flight Plan, okay, the cumulative gross so far, it's only been out 2 weeks. It's made $45.9 million, okay? But this weekend, it only made $14.8 million. So you can see it made a huge drop from the previous week. So
actually, Serenity made more money than Flight Plan, actually.
Well, the first weekend, it made... Flight Plan made about, $30 million, and it dropped down to less than $15 million. And that's what, they say there's like a rule, if it's 60% or something below the first week, then it's going to flop, or I don't remember what the formula or something is, but now Serenity...
Energy cell exhausted.
The Serenity, it's only the first weekend, and it's a holiday weekend, which should help it a lot, but...
Can you really call Columbus Day a holiday weekend?
Well, a lot of people have it off, plus their kids are off school. I mean, my daughter had Friday and Monday off.
Really? I never had Monday off in my life at school for
Billy.
Columbus Day.
Oh, we did.
Unless you worked for the government, I didn't think you had Columbus Day off.
Yeah, I always worked or had to go to school.
That's a bank holiday too, isn't it?
Yeah, and mail and all that. So you won't be getting mail Monday. So.
Steven, I told you not to breathe in the mic.
Hey.
He kept doing that when, remember, Steven, we went to see History of Violence, and I'm like, I can hear you doing the Predator.
It's true. We went to eat, and all the smoke was killing me. I am very allergic to smoke.
Right.
Not from me. But number three was Tim Burton's Corpse Bride with 10 points.
Yes or no!
How is that still in the theater?
Yeah, why is this cartoon for kids making money?
No, it was, you know what? It was good, except for the music. It was the first time Danny Elfman's music made me gag.
Really?
What?
Yeah, I just didn't like the music in it.
You're killing me, because I'm a huge Elfman fan.
Yeah, Elfman, Oingo Boingo, whatever. But this music was awful. I liked the music in Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. I thought he did great with that. But the music in Corpse Bride just had me, you know...
I haven't seen it, and I want to see that.
So that is still making money from week to week, though, right?
Yes, it went from $33 million cumulative for 3 weeks, and in its third week it's made $10 million. So it's about staying the same, I would say. But number four, of course, was History of Violence, and this is a surprising one. It's been in the theater for 2 weeks now. Its cumulative gross is only $8.8 million, and... This week, it made $8.1 million, so obviously, last week, it didn't really seem to do that well, so I don't know. Last week, it was in number 18, and it jumped to number 4.
Huh. What's the next movie?
Roll Bounce, Into the Blue.
Ah, Into the Blue, our favorite movie.
At 7
Jessica
million.
Alba's
our
buttocks.
Favorite topic.
Number 6 is so Just scared, Like Heaven. Dude.
Now, why did you pass by Into the Blue so fast? Let me just think about Into the Blue for a second. Okay, move on.
Wait, hold on. Let me think about it.
He's shaking
okay,
up a
I'm
spray
done.
Can. All right.
Yeah.
Bill, did you hook some electrodes up to something?
Yeah, I like a little extra stimulation in the testicular area.
God. Number 6 is Just Like Heaven.
Yes.
What is it?
You say that again?
Just Like Heaven at $6.1 million.
Just Like Heaven, the Napoleon Dynamite movie. Oh, let me remind everyone, even though the show will come out after Saturday, I shouldn't have even started talking. Napoleon,
I'll edit it.
Did you guys know that Napoleon Dynamite's hosting Saturday Night Live tonight?
Yes.
John Heder?
I saw him on Conan.
No, Napoleon Dynamite. He's Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah.
Watch out for snakes.
Yeah, I saw him interviewed on Cars.
I don't see this going well because he's a very bland interview, and he's also just a very bland individual. So
did you see the Conan interview?
No.
He was actually pretty lively. I thought he did a really good job.
Yeah, but he talks like Napoleon Dynamite. It's really kind of frightening
because he was like. He said that, you know, he goes to do college talks, and he said the coolest thing that ever happened to him was a kid come up to him in the audience and asked him to throw a steak in his face. He said, he goes, okay, and he did it.
Absolutely.
And he nailed the kid right in the face with it. And then after the show, the kid wanted him to sign the steak.
Nice.
So he'll throw a steak in your face if you ask him.
I bet he would. No. Okay, and number seven is
struggling.
The Exorcism of Emily Rose at $4.3 million. And number eight, go ahead and play it, Jason. Roll Bounce at
what?
$4 million.
What are you talking
number
about?
Eight.
What are you talking about?
Foggy, play it.
What movie?
Roll Bounce. Roll Bounce. There roll you bounce go. At number nine.
Just get it out of your system, Foggy.
Roll Bounce. Roll Bounce. Roll Bounce.
All right, is Roll Bounce still making a ton of movie? What? Is it still making a ton of money?
It made $4 million, and it's been in the theater 2 weeks, and so far it's made $12.6
million. Wow, it made...
What the hell was with the sound clip?
It made more money than Serenity?
No.
Oh, it's made this like...
In 3 weeks.
Total.
Oh, okay. So basically, yeah. Roll Bounce is a huge flop.
Pretty much.
All right, next whatever.
Movie.
Number nine. The greatest game ever played with 3.7
million.
Oh, this is the movie with Oof. Yeah, where he's playing golf and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Number 10 is The 40-Year-Old Virgin with 3.1 million, and you know how much it's made in 7 weeks?
How much?
$101 million.
Good.
It's
good
a great
Steve
movie.
Carell.
Yeah.
He deserves it.
Good stuff, Johnny.
So does Judd Apatow. He's been doing a lot of good stuff that hasn't been acknowledged, and finally to have a movie that brings in that amount of money, it's just a good thing. It's a great thing.
I know that, dude.
Yeah, I know Judd Apatow. Apatow.
Well, guess how much Wedding Crashers has made cumulative in 12 weeks?
How much?
Probably 180.
$206.5
million. Whoa.
Wow.
Yep.
Engage.
That's
Charlie
a lot of...
Charlie and the Chocolate... I ka-ching. Could name off a few. Yeah, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. Take a wild guess. So far in 12 weeks...
Oh, that has to be over 200. Maybe 230?
Not quite. It made about $205 million.
Good, because I was afraid it wasn't going to make
damn!
Much.
Well, Fantastic Four made $154 million.
What?
Is Fantastic Four still in theaters?
It's only 258 screens
right now.
You've
been dicking me around since we started this turd hunt.
Where's the shit clown?
And Madagascar.
A huge cloud of shit.
Place.
Wow. God, I think I smell it. Come on, let's go.
I love Kingpin.
Struggling.
Hey, do you guys know what drop this is from?
Struggling.
Yeah, that's Kirk Douglas giving his speech at the no. Oscars, isn't it?
That's Joe Namath drunk on Monday Night Football.
Oh.
But, struggling.
Why don't you play the whole clip where he goes, hey, can I kiss
you? I want to kiss you.
I want to kiss you.
But this whole place sucks. That's right, it sucks.
All right, go ahead.
Oh, did you want to take a wild guess how much Madagascar has made so far?
Is it a success or not? And then I'll guess.
Please, yes. It's a kid's movie. It's a success.
Of course,
is that the way to make money these days? Is
just
gross...
make a kid's movie.
Oh, you should hear how much Marcia the Page
oh,
made.
Billy.
Please, don't even tell me how much that made. I hated that f***ing
what
movie.
What movie is this?
March of the Penguins.
Bill's always got to drop the F-bomb.
Marcia.
How much?
March of the Penguins has made about $75
million. No!
You know what I heard is those penguins are from Illinois.
Illinois Nazis.
Here's one that deserves Nazis. One that deserves to be a hit. Batman Begins. 16 weeks. How much do you think it's made so far?
1.5.
Not quite.
I'm not going to debate you, Jerry.
And Star Wars Episode 3. Here's a big one. How much do you think that's made in 20 weeks?
Too much.
Is that still in the theaters?
On 49 screens only.
Too much.
How much? Take a wild guess.
500
million. 350
million.
I'm going to guess that it's made $1 billion.
No.
Make it so.
Only domestic here. 380 million.
I was
yay!
Close.
I was extremely close.
I'm just glad it didn't make more than that because, you know, now that I've watched it about 20 times...
20 times.
I've kind of decided no. That it's no better than episode 1 or 2.
Now, okay, let me ask you this, guys. Would you rather go see Revenge of the Sith again or Into the Blue?
Is that it? That's all we get to choose from?
He has nine!
Okay.
Yes.
I would have to say it depends on the sound system.
I guess so.
And it depends on the size of the screen. Because if it's a really big screen, I want to see a really big ass.
It, if Revenge of the Sith is the Blue Knight and End of the Blue is the Red Knight.
You're going down, Red Knight! Going down, down, down!
Yeah.
I'm sorry, that was so pathetic.
That's that a great was thing. Stretching.
Struggling.
Struggling.
I want to kiss you.
And boom goes the dynamite.
Oh, God.
That's Vanessa's favorite.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Boom goes the dynamite.
That's our show for this week. Don't forget, you can always call and please leave us a comment. Call our voicemail at 1-206-202-3491. And Steven, I invite you to even call and breathe on the phone or something.
You'll do it for $9.95 if you have
also, if you want to leave us some kind of email message, have suggestions, hey, tell us what's on your TiVo. If we're not talking about a show that you want to hear about, we're at nimpodcast@gmail.com. And also, come to nowheremulberry.com and leave a comment right there on our site. And we'd love to hear from you. Yeah, don't be afraid. Are you afraid? Don't be. We'll keep Steven as far away from you as you want. We'll give you a poking stick.
That's a great thing.
Oh, yeah.